this evening to 1 Samuel chapter 28. And the title of my message will be, This is the Man. This is the Man. In Psalm 52 and verse 7, we read, Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and strengthened himself in wickedness. The man is, of course, King Saul, the first king of Israel, who we have seen made not God his strength, but strengthened himself in wickedness. This is the man, King Saul. Three things, three divisions to the message tonight. First, a desperate man. This is the man, a desperate man. And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare, to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, Know thou assuredly that thou shalt go with me to battle, thou and thy men. And David said to Achish, Surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, Therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even as in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. A desperate man. Three things I want us to see here. First of all, the Philistines gather their armies together for warfare. Now, as we have been studying through this first book of Samuel, we have seen that this had occurred many times, several times in the chapters that we've looked at. The Philistines had gathered themselves together, brought their armies together to fight against Saul, against Israel. But first of all, there is something different about it this time. There's something different about it this time. What was it? Samuel was dead. Notice that in verse 3. Samuel was dead. The prophet of God was no longer alive to pray for God's help or to offer a sacrifice as they went forth to battle. Samuel was dead. If you turn back to chapter 7, you see this is something that he often did when they went to battle. In chapter 7 and verse 7, we read, And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. Something was different this time. Samuel was dead. The prophet of God, who had cried unto the Lord for them, was no longer here to cry, no longer here to offer a sacrifice, a burnt offering. And I thought about a later king of Israel who cried when the prophet Elisha died. You know, these kings, for the most part, had no use for the prophets of God until they got into trouble. But I thought about this man when Elisha died. The king cried, "Oh, my father, my father." Now listen, the chariot of Israel, the horsemen thereof. Well, Elisha never rode in a chariot. He never straddled a horse to go to battle. But this king realized the importance of the man of God, how they needed him to direct them, to pray for them, to cry unto God as they went out to battle, because always we are to remember that God gives the victory. God gives the victory. The victory is not necessarily to the strong, but the victory comes through the power of God. David, of course, later would write in one of the Psalms, "Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we trust in the Lord. Our trust is in God." God gives the victory. But now, Saul is a desperate man because the Philistines have gathered together and Samuel was no longer with them. He was dead. And a second thing that comes to mind also is something was different this time. David, who had slain the giant, David, who had slain his thousands when he went out against the Philistines. Now, he's not with Saul. In fact, he's aligned with the Philistines. So we see, first of all, a desperate man here because something was different this time. Samuel was dead and David was aligned with his enemies. A second thing that comes out in these verses is he saw the number of the Philistines. He looked at them. He looked at them rather than looking at God. In verse 5, we read, "And when Saul saw," when he saw the host of the Philistines, you know, faith is not seeing, is it? Faith is believing God, the invisible God. Believe in him. But Saul put his eyes upon the Philistines, the number of the army that he was going to have to fight. And his heart trembled. He became sore afraid. And we read in verse 3 that Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits. Now the law of God commanded him to do that. I was reading just this week, I believe, maybe even this morning in the book of Exodus. And what a blessing just to read the law of God. Just the, you know, Paul said the law is good, it's just, it's pure. And I know we're not under that law, that law of Moses, but just to read the law, what a blessing it is to see the righteousness of God. How in the affairs, the mundane things, the affairs of life, how we are to be righteous, our actions are to be righteous before God. But one of the commands there in Exodus is to put away the witches, those that practice familiar spirits and professed at least to be able to commune with the dead. Put that away. You know, in our country today, we see some of that, don't we? Some people, they read their horoscope. They think that the stars somehow control men's destiny. And they forget about God's providence. Who's in control? And they go to palm readers and people supposedly can read your dreams and things of that nature. Well, the law had commanded that people that practiced those things, they were to be put away. And we see here that Saul did that. But many of the writers believe the reason he did this wasn't necessarily in obedience to the law to honor God, but remember, he had that evil spirit from the Lord. The Lord had sent that evil spirit upon him, and somehow the writers believe that he came to the conclusion the reason for him having that evil spirit was because of these wizards and witches and people like that that were in the land, so he had them put away. And then the third thing we see here, the Lord would not answer him. Now that's sad, isn't it? That's one of the saddest conditions anyone may find themselves in. The Lord would not answer him. And we are told that he sought the Lord's direction in these three ways. First of all, by dreams. His own dreams. And then he would want someone to interpret the dream. I think about some of the dreams I have. I'm glad I don't have to depend upon dreams and trying to figure out what God's trying to tell me in a dream when I have the Word of God. But he was looking for answers, and he was looking for those answers, for direction, to go to battle, what he should do, what he shouldn't do, through his dreams. And then we are told also through the prophets. And we know there was a school of the prophets that Samuel had begun. It wasn't far from this place where they're camped, according to the writers. But the prophets couldn't help him. And then the strangest of all, look at that verse, if you will. The Urim in verse 6. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Urim, that stands out to me. Why? Remember the Urim and the Thummim? Remember how God revealed through those lights in the breastplate of the high priest? How that God revealed sometimes, not always, but sometimes his will directed Israel through the Urim and the Thummim? But listen, what had Saul done to the priest? He had them all killed, remember? He had them all killed because that man told him that David, that the priest rather conspired with David against him, and so he just gave the command, well, kill all of them. But there was one son of the high priest who escaped, and he escaped with the ephod, in which was the Urim and the Thummim. Now, Saul, evidently after this priest had left, he had no doubt had other priests and another Urim and Thummim, but it wasn't of the Lord. The Lord answered him not. He answered him not. Second, so first we see a desperate man. This is a man. This is a man that made not God his strength. First of all, he's a desperate man. Second, he is a deceived man. Let's read, beginning with verse 7. He is a deceived man. Then said Saul unto his servant, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring him up, whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done. Now he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore, then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel, And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. And the king said unto her, Be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said to Saul, I saw God's judges ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, What form is he of? And she said, An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me, and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, Wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee, and is become thine enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand, and given it to thy neighbor, even to David, because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Now we see, after having given orders to slaughter all those that have these familiar spirits, those that practice witchcraft, he wants to speak to one. He's desperate. He's desperate. And so they tell him, well, there is a woman here in Endor, the witch of Endor, and he disguises himself. He couldn't go in his royal apparel or his army uniform. He was the commander-in-chief of the army, you know. He had to disguise himself, and two others went along with him, and they go to this woman who they were told at least she had a spirit of divination. Now, when he asked, she was, of course, afraid. She was afraid that it was a ploy, that he just wanted to find out, whoever this was, just wanted to find out, yes, she did practice this witchcraft, and then he would report her to Saul, and Saul would do to her as he had done to others. But notice that Saul swears unto her in the name of the Lord that you will be safe, in verse 10. And Saul swore to her by the Lord. Isn't it strange that he swears by the Lord who had forsaken the Lord and made not the Lord his strength? He swears by the Lord, saying, As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Matthew Henry made this comment on Saul's promise here. There shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Matthew Henry said he promised more than he could perform. For he that could not secure himself could much less secure her from divine vengeance. Now I call Saul here a deceived man for this reason. It's easy to see he was a desperate man, but I say he was also a deceived man because he actually believes, at least it seems to me, he actually believed that this witch brought Samuel up and that he was actually speaking to Samuel. He was deceived. You say, well, that's strange, says Samuel. Well, remember this, even in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul warned, No marvel, he said, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now, I want to give us some reasons tonight, several reasons why this was not Samuel. The first reason is, if you read this passage again, read it carefully, as I did several times, you will notice Saul never saw this man. Or we're not told that Saul ever saw this man that he perceives. And that's what the scripture says there in verse 14. Saul perceived that it was Samuel. He didn't see him. He didn't see him. And some believe he was actually in another room. And this woman, this witch, was in a different room. And he asked, "Who is it?" And when she said, "Well, it's an old man, and he's got a mantle on," that he just assumed, he had asked her to call up Samuel. He assumed or perceived that, yes, this was Samuel. This wasn't Samuel. This was the devil or one of his emissaries who was transformed to represent himself as Samuel. And we read this. When he thought that it was Samuel, when he perceived that it was Samuel, what did he do? He fell on the ground, put his face on the ground. And it is believed that those who thought the dead could communicate with the living, that they did so from the ground. In other words, they muttered, and the sound would come up out of the ground. In Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16, we read, "When they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter." The writers, at least, believe that this is the way the dead would communicate, was from the ground. They would fall on the ground. The sound would come up, the muttering sound, the peeping sound would come up from the ground. So that's the first reason that I say unto us tonight, this wasn't Samuel. We're never told that Saul saw Samuel. He perceived that it was Samuel. The second thing is, if this was Samuel, if this had been Samuel, think about this. Would he have said, "Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up?" To bring me up. Wouldn't he have said, "Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me down?" Where was Samuel? He wasn't in hell, that's for sure. His body, yes, was in the grave, but where was Samuel? Samuel was in Abraham's bosom. And we know, as we saw last Sunday night, that's the way the Jews spoke of heaven. And when our Lord went back to heaven, he didn't go down, did he? No, he came down when he came into this world. He descended. But after his resurrection, when he went to the Father, he ascended. He went to heaven. He went back to heaven. And another thing, would God allow a witch to disquiet one of his chosen people, one of his chosen, redeemed, blood-bought family that's resting in the arms of Christ in eternity? Would God allow a witch at her will, or his will if it was a male, to disquiet one of his servants? That doesn't ring true. A third reason, someone would ask, well, what about the fact that in verse 17, this whatever it was, this apparition said, "As he spake by me, as he spake by me, and the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me." Well, remember what our Lord said about Satan? He's a liar. He was a liar from the beginning. You say, what do you mean, from the beginning? I mean, in the beginning, when he approached our mother Eve, what did he say? When she said, "The command is that we not eat of that fruit, lest we die," What did he say? Thou shalt not surely die. He lied, didn't he? Our Lord said he's a liar and a murderer from the beginning. And yes, he could have easily said now that he is Samuel and claims these words which Samuel spoke is his. A fourth reason, the words in verse 19 were not true. Verse 19, this apparition, whatever it was, said, "Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow." Now, the battle didn't take place the next day. It's going to be at least two more days before the battle takes place. And this man said, "Tomorrow, tomorrow." And then he also said, "And tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me." Now, it is true that when the battle takes place, that Saul will be killed and his son Jonathan will be killed. But there's one son, Ishbosheth, who was not killed. This man said, "Thy sons," as though all of his sons, his whole posterity would be cut off. That wasn't true. That wasn't true. And number five, had this been Samuel, would he not have given Saul better counsel? If this had been Samuel, would he not have given Saul better counsel? Here he is. Remember, Samuel prayed for Saul. Samuel loved Saul. He prayed for him. And now, if this were truly Samuel, wouldn't he have given him better counsel? As I thought about that, I thought about Daniel. Keep your place here, but look over in Daniel chapter 4. When Daniel interpreted one of the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar, and it is that dream where God told Nebuchadnezzar he was going to live for 7 years out in the field like an animal. But if you notice here in Daniel 4 and verse 27, remember, Daniel saw this. Daniel understood what the king's dream was. No one else, none of the other astrologers or soothsayers or magicians could give the king the meaning of the dream. But Daniel did, because Daniel's God, Jehovah, revealed the truth to him. But notice what Daniel says, "Wherefore, O king," after he had interpreted the dream, and after he had told what was going to happen to the king, "Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. Break off thy sins by righteousness." Wouldn't Samuel have said something like that to Saul? "Break off thy sins by righteousness, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility." If this had been Samuel, he would have given him different counsel. I believe he would have said, "Samuel, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Seek. There's mercy with the Lord. He's a God of mercy. Seek him. Seek him in your desperation, in your great need. Seek the Lord." He wouldn't have given him advice to just go out and die in the battle. Seek the Lord. And something else I'm sure he would have told him, be reconciled with David. Yes, David's over there with the Philistines, but send a messenger to him. And be reconciled with David. Bring him home. But he didn't give him any kind of counsel like that, did he? He just told him a lie. He said, "Tomorrow you're going to be dead." He wasn't. Wasn't the next day. Now, before I move on to my last point, we must all recognize, and I believe we do, that this was all permitted by God. God permitted all of this. Saul disobeyed the Lord in the matter of Amalek. God told him to destroy Amalek and everything that pertained to him. And remember, he saved of the best of the flocks. And then he gave as an excuse for his disobedience that he was going to offer them unto the Lord. And that tremendous statement, hath the Lord as great delight in sacrifice as in obedience. God permitted this. The third thing, this is a man that made not the Lord, made not God his strength. He is a defeated man, a desperate man, a deceived man, and a defeated man. Verse 20, then Saul fell straightway all along on the earth and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all the day nor all the night. And the woman came unto Saul and saw that he was sore troubled and said unto him, behold, thine handmaid hath obeyed thy voice, and I have put my life in my hand and have hearkened unto thy words which thou spakest unto me. Now therefore, I pray thee, hearken thou also unto the voice of thine handmaid, and let me set a morsel of bread before thee, and eat, that thou mayest have strength when thou goest on thy way. But he refused, and said, I will not eat. But his servants, together with the woman, compelled him, and he hearkened unto their voice. So he arose from the earth and sat upon the bed, and the woman had a fat calf in the house, and she hasted and killed it, and took flour and kneaded it, and did bake unleavened bread thereof. And she brought it before Saul and before his servants, and they did eat. Then they rose up and went away that night. He was defeated. He was physically weak, but more so, he was suffering from a guilty conscience. A guilty conscience. Knowing he had brought all of this upon himself. He couldn't blame Samuel. Couldn't blame David. No, he was a man. He was a man. This is a man that doesn't make God his strength. He was defeated before the battle ever began. He was defeated. And I thought about, look at those last words in that chapter. And went away that night. Went away that night. Turn to me to chapter 13 of John. John chapter 13. He went away that night. And John chapter 13 and verse 30. Judas. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Night, darkness. Matthew Henry said that Satan treated Saul as he did Judas. He was to him first a tempter and then a tormentor, persuading him first to sell his master and then to hang himself. And I say unto us this evening, every man who doesn't make the Lord his strength is or will be sooner or later a desperate man, a deceived man, and certainly a defeated man. Well, you might say, well, how does one make God his strength? Believe by faith. Look to Christ. Trust in him as your strength. Believe in his Son and serve him. And keep looking to him. Our Lord said this to his disciples, without me, you can do nothing. We have no strength, no spiritual strength in ourselves. We will always be defeated. We'll always be deceived. We'll always be desperate if we're looking to ourselves. But looking unto Christ and trusting him, he will give us the strength that we need day by day. I pray the Lord would bless us.